The resurrection of Lazarus was an event that brought untold joy and wonder to his sisters Martha and Mary. The miracle was, beyond all doubt, a visible evidence, a visible display of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was, as Peter would later say on the day of Pentecost, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. This miracle of the raising of Lazarus from the dead was evidence that he had come from God and that he was the very Son of God incarnate in the flesh. It was a demonstration of his deity. But added to this, the miracle changed the sorrow of Martha and Mary into amazement and joy. For 4 days they had shed tears, the tears of grief and sorrow, and their hearts had been cast into a condition of mourning. And during those days, prior to Lazarus' death, they had suffered the anxiety, they had suffered the trouble of standing by helplessly, watching their brother as he rapidly declined and death finally claimed its prey. It was a heart-rending time, no doubt. But what added most to their affliction was the apparent indifference of their Lord. If you look at verse 3 of the chapter, we read there, "Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." They're sending the information to their Lord. They recognize him as the Christ of God, the Son of God. Martha bears testimony to that in this very chapter. They recognize him as the Lord of glory and they're sending word to him. You'll notice that there's not a request here by way of intervening in the case of Lazarus, but simply for the Lord to take consideration of it. Lord, behold, look at this, observe this. He whom thou lovest is sick. But we read in verse number 6, "When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." It sent word to the Lord, but the Lord just continued where he was. And in the process of that time, Lazarus died. And when the Lord eventually came, Lazarus had lain in the grave 4 days already. And both Martha and Mary said the same thing to the Lord when he arrived. Look at verse 21. Martha was the first to meet the Lord. And she said, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." It's evident that in her mind there was this feeling of apparent indifference. That they sent word, but the Lord had not come soon enough, the Lord had not come hastily enough. And in their minds it seemed to them that this delay had added to the problem. This delay had brought about the death of her brother. When the Lord came to Mary in verse 32, she said the same thing as her sister. When Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." My brother had not died. To both sisters it appeared the Lord had been indifferent to their need, and if only he had been there, then this would not have happened. So we have his sickness during the days of his sickness and then his death. And then the seeming indifference and all combined to intensify the grief and the sorrow of these two sisters. But what a transformation was experienced when the Lord raised Lazarus and he came forth from the grave. I think it was surely a little preview of the ancient promise that sorrow and sighing shall flee away and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. This was a resurrection. And these sisters experienced something of that joy that will be experienced on the last day, the resurrection morning. Their hearts had been broken with sorrow and grief. But when the Lord brought Lazarus from the dead, that sorrow vanished away, and their hearts were filled with joy and with gladness. What a transformation. And yet for a little while their hearts were plunged into greater grief because they perceived the Lord to have been indifferent by delaying his arrival. I want us this morning to consider just for a few moments this delayed arrival. Why the Lord delayed his arrival. What was he doing? Surely it's an experience that many of God's people can identify with, that in the course of our lives and as we view the providence of God, as we look at the dealings of God in our life, there may be times when it appears to us that the Lord is indifferent to our case. And if only the Lord had come sooner, then we would not have experienced what we experienced. I want us to consider today this delayed arrival. And I want us to ask the question why the Lord did this, why the Lord acted like this on this occasion. What was his reason? Remember, the Lord always has a reason for what he does. The Lord never does anything without a purpose. And as we look at this passage and we see the sisters sending word to their Lord, and as we see the Lord tarrying where he was and then coming when it was too late, surely we will learn something about why the Lord acted in that fashion. If you look at this passage, you'll discover in the first place that this delayed arrival of Christ displayed his sympathy. It brought about an opportunity where the Lord manifested his sympathy, and these sisters beheld the sympathy of Christ. You see, what seemed to be indifference on the part of their Lord in reality gave these two sisters a very precious and remarkable display of the Lord's sympathy. Look at verse 35 of the chapter. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. What a sight it must have been for the weeping sisters of Bethany when they saw their Lord weep with them and for them. The Lord's tears were prompted by their sorrow. We see here the differing personalities of the two sisters very clearly manifested. When the Lord eventually came, verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. It's a different response here. And Martha goes to the Lord, and Martha tells the Lord, if thou'st been here, my brother had not died. And she begins this conversation with the Lord. And then she goes and she calls her sister, and when Mary was come where Jesus was, in verse 32, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, when Mary came, and as soon as she saw her Lord, she's overwhelmed with her emotion, overwhelmed with her grief, and she breaks down in tears, and she falls at His feet, she's utterly overwhelmed. And she says, Lord, if Thou'st been here, my brother had not died. The two sisters were very different in their personalities, in their makeup. And Martha seems to be the one that's stronger of the two. Martha doesn't break down. Martha's not overwhelmed by the grief and the emotion of it all, but Mary, her sister, is. And whenever the Lord saw Mary weeping, when he saw Mary overwhelmed, consumed by her grief, it was then that Jesus wept. You see, Martha didn't display the same degree of emotion and sorrow. And the Lord didn't weep. But when He saw Mary in this condition, she's broken down. She's overwhelmed by it all. The Lord responds by weeping. He who is the creator of all things weeps. They find Him that day to be touched with the feelings of their infirmities. He wept in the place and in the circumstance of death. And perhaps like never before, the two sisters discovered that they had a Savior to whom they could bring all their feelings, knowing that He would sympathize with them, knowing that He would feel with them and for them. Yes, He is the Creator of all things, who can speak, Lazarus, come forth, and death must vanish. He is the Almighty Savior. But at the same time, He is the sympathizing Savior. It was an evidence of His love for them. You see how the Jews interpreted this in verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how He loved him, referring to Lazarus. The tears of Christ on this occasion were the evidence in their mind, in their estimation, of the love that Christ had for Lazarus and for Lazarus' sisters. Do you see here a reason why the Lord delayed His arrival? Far from being indifferent, it was an opportunity in which the Lord expressed and revealed His sympathy that He had for them. And very often in the course of life, when we perceive that the Lord is being indifferent to our cries and to our case, when we would say, Lord, if only You had been here sooner, this would not have happened. When we perceive that an apparent indifference, the Lord is only setting about a situation in which He will reveal something about Himself which otherwise we would not have known. Yes, they met with their Creator who has all power. But that day they realized that He was truly man, and that He could enter into and share and know their grief and their sorrow and their heartaches. For we have such an high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus wept. And this delayed arrival displayed His sympathy. But not only did it display His sympathy, it displayed His sufficiency. As the scene unfolds, We discover here some among the onlookers beginning to reason in their minds. Look at verse 37. And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man Lazarus should not have died?" They saw the events. They saw the sickness of Lazarus. They saw his death. They saw the sorrow of his sisters. And now they see the Lord standing at the graveside and he's weeping as well. And they conclude, they reason in their minds, could not he have caused or prevented this death? In effect, they were reasoning that his tenderness, his tears, his weeping, was not only a sign of his affection for them, but it was a sign of his weakness. That he was not able to have prevented such a sad situation. They had heard recently that he had opened the eyes of a man blind from birth. Now the reasoning, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? As they watch him, as they see him weeping in the situation, they reason this is a sign of his weakness. That even he cannot conquer death. He could not have prevented this. But it was reasoning that only revealed the unbelief and the hardness of their hearts. From this whole situation, they were concluding that the Lord was not able. Even though he had opened the eyes of the blind, that he was not able. It serves to remind us that miracles in themselves do not convince or change the hearts of men. Yes, the Lord had healed the man who was blind, but they did not believe that the Lord could have prevented the sickness, prevented death. They did not believe. We read in verse 47, as a result of the raising of Lazarus, that they sought to put the Lord to death. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles." Verse 53, then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death. Miracles in themselves do not change or convince the hearts of men. Their reasoning now, as they see the Christ of God standing at the graveside of Lazarus, weeping alongside Mary and Martha, they reason that he's not able. The Lord delayed his arrival so that it would be a means of illustrating his sufficiency. He not only had power over disease, but over death itself. And therefore he was showing them in this instance that he is sufficient in every circumstance. Yes, he could have come sooner. He could have prevented the very illness that Lazarus had to begin with. And guess when that illness took hold of Lazarus, he could have healed him of that illness and thus prevented death. Yes, he could have done that. But his delayed arrival has allowed a situation where sickness has come and death has followed. And now, in the midst of great grief and sorrow, the Lord comes. And he comes to show that he's sufficient in every circumstance. That even when death has come, he is still the conqueror. He is still the victor. And he says, with a loud voice in verse 43, "Lazarus, come forth!" forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, loose him and let him go. You see, the Lord delayed his arrival in order to show that he is sufficient in every circumstance. He lets things go to such a degree in order to prove that he's sufficient. His grace is sufficient. They reasoned, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind, could not even he have caused that this man should not have died? And the Lord just says, I can not only prevent death, but I can triumph when death has already taken its toll. And he was previewing, he was illustrating what he will do at the great last day. And he will finally conquer death for all eternity. He was displaying his sympathy. He was displaying his sufficiency. And when the Lord seems to be indifferent to us, remember this. That he's only bringing about circumstances where he will prove to us that he's sufficient in every need, sufficient in every situation. But finally, the Lord was displaying by his delayed arrival his sovereignty. Did you notice here that the Lord's delay in the circumstances of Lazarus' death was met with different interpretations? In the case of the Jews, as we have already noticed, they questioned his ability. They're looking at what he has done. They're looking at his delay in arrival. They're looking at his weeping, and they're reasoning as a result that he wasn't able to prevent this. And so they're interpreting providence in this way. This reflects, or this displays inability on his part. But in the case of Martha and Mary, we find another interpretation. Not so much a questioning, skeptical spirit, but a spirit of supposition. Look at verse 21 again. Martha said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Mary said the very same thing in verse 32. What were they doing? They were beginning to suppose. They were beginning to imagine in their minds what could have been, what might have been, what would have been if the Lord had come soon. They fell into a snare which we must all be careful and cautious about. When we contemplate God's providential dealings with us, the snare of supposition, what if, or what might have been. Lord, if you had have been here sooner, this would not have happened. This would not have taken place. If circumstances had been different, then the result would have been different. They're falling into this snare. It was a snare that added to their sorrow. They're already grieving the death of their brother, but they're adding to their grief by supposing, imagining that something else could have been. The Lord had come sooner. And in reality, they were only adding to their sorrow. They were creating grief that wasn't there, grief that wasn't necessary. You know, the bitterest griefs in life often do not come from facts, but from things we imagine might have been. The sisters imagined that if the Lord had come sooner, then Lazarus would not have died, and so their supposition added to their grief. All such supposition is vain and needless. There's really no profit or no advantage in saying, if Jesus had been here, then Lazarus would not have died. There's no profit whenever Lazarus was already dead. There's no advantage to that. They couldn't change it. They couldn't alter it. And so it was really vain and needless for them to reason in such a way, to imagine such a thing. They could not undo what had already been done. But not only is such supposition needless, it can be very harmful. It can lead to an accusing spirit, the spirit that turns the blame upon self. We begin to blame ourselves for actions which were right and innocent, right and proper. When we see the consequences of those actions, we begin to question if they had been right at all. When we take a stand for Christ and then suffer for it, if we begin to suppose, what if we had done it differently? What if we had acted another way? Would we have faced that consequence? And so we can actually begin to blame ourselves and question actions that have been right and wise. But even greater still, or worse still, we can fall into the snare of blaming God. And that's exactly what the Jews were doing here. If the Lord had come sooner, he could have prevented this death. Supposition is something we must beware of. Supposing things that God has not in his providence ordained. But the Lord's delayed arrival, his permission of this sickness and death, was in reality a display of his sovereignty. He acts according to the good pleasure of his will. Yes, he could have prevented death and sickness had he come sooner. But even if he had not come sooner, he still could have prevented sickness and death. He had only to speak the word. He didn't need to be there physically. He's omnipresent. And he'd only to speak the word, and he could have prevented that sickness, and he could have prevented the subsequent death. But he did not do that. When the Lord acts as he does, we must learn to accept his sovereignty and humbly submit to it. The Lord was displaying his sovereignty. They sent to the Lord in verse number 6, when he heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. He wasn't obligated to go immediately. They could make the request. But the request was being made to one who is sovereign. And they must learn to submit to his sovereignty. The Lord is sovereign. And we must learn from this chapter that as he displays his sovereignty, that sovereignty is regulated by his glory. The Lord did not give an answer to the unbelieving Jews when they asked their question in verse 37. Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? The Lord didn't answer the unbelieving Jews, but he had given an explanation to his disciples. Verse number 4 of the chapter, when Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. All that God does, and all that He permits in our lives, is intended and directed for His glory. Even when it seems there's an indifference on the part of our Lord to respond to our cry and our case, even when He delays, He is acting in His sovereignty, and His sovereignty is always regulated by His glory. I like what C.H. Spurgeon says on this text. He says, if you are God's child and He has denied to you what you think He might as well have given you, if He has permitted you to suffer under a calamity which you think He might have averted, He will give you no explanation than this which He gives you now, without any pressure at all, namely, that it is for His glory. We have a sovereign God, a God who acts according to the good pleasure of His will. And there may be things that He denies us. There may be things which we bring to Him. Afflictions, problems, adversities, thorns in the flesh. We may bring it to our Lord, and it may seem that He's not listening, that He's not coming when we need Him to come, that He's not stepping in when we request Him to. We must always remember that everything He does is done on the basis of His sovereign will. And His sovereign will is regulated by His glory. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. You see, the ultimate end is the glory of God. And if it be for His glory, then it will be for our good. The circumstances which befell this family, facing this situation and then grieving in death, it was for the glory of God. And whatever is for God's glory, whatever will most glorify Him, will be to the greatest benefit of His people. The Lord came. And the Lord stepped in the midst of this grieving, sorrowful situation, and He said, take ye away the stone. Lazarus, come forth. Loose him and let him go. The Lord revealed Himself in a way that they could never have imagined He would do so. If He had acted according to their supposition and according to their perceptions. The circumstances which befell Lazarus bring to our attention not only the power of Christ over death, but the way in which we must view all His providential dealings with us. He is sovereign. All that He does is acted on the basis of divine wisdom, infinite wisdom, and designed ultimately to His glory. Let us therefore be content to submit to His will, to His sovereignty, in the light of His word. And we will find that the Lord will work it out far better than we could ever have manufactured. Lord, if Thou hadst been here,
my brother had not died. What if? What might have been? What could have been? It's vain speculation. Vain speculation. God does what he does because he is sovereign. And he's working out his glory. More than we could ever have imagined. May God give us submissive hearts. And may we learn from this wonderful chapter in the Word of God. Let's turn and close.